follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Moving Forward. This is Jen Sabin. Delighted you're here. We have a fantastic show today. I say that too often, but you know, it always seems that it authentically is. There's a couple things that I want to kick off and mention prior to getting into the show. Thank you so much to the response, the email, and the phone calls. And if you're not aware, for those of you who are in South Florida, the first week in June, on June 7th, I will be facilitating at the Biltmore Hotel the panel discussion on a wave of economic opportunity, the wave of economic opportunity regarding the new Port of Miami and the tunnel and everything, the billions that are going to be coming in. And that's no exaggeration. That's like a literal fact over the next 10 years. And the President of the United States, President Obama, was here last Friday in April, meeting with small business owners around this. If you want to know more about this, go to Miami Growth Advisors. We've had Jody Johnson on the show, and read her white paper. Some brilliant, brilliant stuff. Okay, that's June 7th at the Biltmore Hotel, and there's no charge to register. And it's an incredible panel. This is the real deal. This is how to ramp up for small businesses to be able to take advantage and leverage what's happening in Miami. So note that one. The other thing that I just want to mention, and before we get to our guest who's waiting really patiently, and everyone's going to be really excited to see who's here today, is if you are not familiar with Dharmi Shah, it's wise to do that. That's Dharmesh. His last name is Shah, Shah, and it's on startups.com. And wise, brilliant, witty, no kidding, just check out what he writes. He is just a pleasure to read, and you will get lots of good information. He just wrote something on PR, you know, and the reality is that most pitches for PR are going to fall flat and be ignored. And that's just a waste of time, money. I would put in there not just time and money, but energy as well. And, you know, he quotes a PR story, you know, I'm working with a wonderful new business. The owners grew up together, decided to go into business. It's a story I'm sure your readers would care a lot about. And he writes, no, it's unlikely that people are going to care about that story. Everybody's got a story. So it's not so much about the story people are interested in. They're interested in the information. So if you have a chance, check out www.onstartups.com. It is worth reading. You will learn something. And isn't it great to learn things? So didn't I just sound like my mom there? Heavens. All right. Today, we have a great guest for some of our regular listeners. You've heard Ken Lubin with us before. Ken is the managing director of ZRG Partners. It's a global executive retained search firm. You may be familiar with it, and you may be familiar with Ken. Ken is based out of Boston, And he oversees the practice in financial services. And literally, he's based in Boston, but this is a man with a truly global reach, from searches in China to Hong Kong to Brazil to India to Singapore, certainly the United States. And he's done, you know, the emerging markets in terms of parts of Central and Eastern Europe, Latin America. And so it's not just financial services, but it's technology as well. What is one of the other things that, other than being an amazing guy and just, you know, really great to listen to and generous with his knowledge and information, Ken is a passionate enthusiast around social media. And, you know, a lot of people say that, but he is someone who has used it so effectively. And you may, if you haven't tuned in to when we did discuss using this medium for branding, for personal branding and effective networking in the 21st century, then listen to that episode. So, you know, Ken Lubin is the originator of the Executive Athletes LinkedIn group, Boston Banking Financial Services Professionals LinkedIn group, Global Leasing and Lending Professionals. He is just really a great guy, an excellent professional, and we are very, very fortunate to have him here today. And today we're going to be exploring a topic that I love. It's juicy. Dare I say that? It's a juicy topic. Best in market, best on the market. Best on the market, best in the market. Without further ado, Ken, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. And that's such a gracious introduction. That's excuse me. I don't know if I deserve all that, but it's a blast to do what I do every day, and it's amazing to be able to have the global reach and to talk to some amazing professionals, just in the U.S., but as well as all over the world, and it's something I'm very lucky to do.
Fantastic. And you do, you know, and it's also shifting gears, understanding the cultural context, their agenda. I mean, when you talk to people as an executive search recruiter, you're talking to people who they really want something. You know, they're looking to have you have the best experience of them. How do you discern through that before we even get to this topic?
You know, in chatting with, you know, chatting with candidates and chatting with potential people, you know, most of the people that I'm talking to aren't looking for new roles. And I think, you know, more importantly, I think one of the best ways to do that is to get to know people personally versus, you know, professionally. And I think a lot of people are so worried about what people do professionally, they forget about the personal side of things. And, you know, in today's world, it's more important to have, you know, have a personal or a cultural fit within any organization versus, you know, professional fits are, believe me, are extremely important. But if you don't fit culturally, you're not going to fit within the mold of the organization. You're not going to be successful, and they're not going to be successful. Well, so those are some of the keys that I'm looking for when I'm chatting with people right off the bat.
That's really interesting because the position doesn't trump necessarily the culture. It from your vantage point, and also so that you're creating the best possible relationships with the people you're working with, as well as the people, the organizations that people are being. I'm calling it place, but it's such a different level than place that they're joining or you know, becoming part of, that it serves your best interest to make sure that it's not just a functional fit, but that it's also that personality, cultural, that get all groups together.
Exactly. And that's the key. You know, I think, you know, some people are going to be successful in a big Fortune 500 company where other people are going to be successful in a five-person company, and they're not necessarily going to be successful in both. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of understanding of what you got to get to know the person, what they like, what they're really looking for, and some of the keys to success for them in order to grow their career.
You know, I mean, there's the topic where we're focusing on best in market, best on the market. I want to have us explain that in a moment. Like, what does that really mean? But before we do that, there's something that occurred to me. So, because you're really in so many ways in the business of cherry picking, right? Like, you know, and I don't know if that's a term that is like if you just cringed, but really like, you know, looking out there and identifying where they're opening and who the best candidates are, even if they might not be someone who at this time is considering making a move, like introducing to them to what may be available out there that they're not even aware of.
That's a lot of what we're doing. But I think more importantly, a lot of it's timing. You know, there's people are in different stages of their career at any given time. And you know, a lot of people I talk to just joined an organization or an they just got promoted within their current role, or that they just found out their bonuses are getting cut, you know, by 50%, and you know, you happen to give them the guy the right call at the right time, and it actually worked out perfectly. So there's a lot that has to do with timing as well.
Like most things in life, right? That would be a common theme. I'm curious though, because I know that I've received calls from people regarding opportunities, and you know, it's my company, it's my business, you know, so it's kind of. And as far as we're a great organization, GMG, et cetera, you know, cross our T's, dot our I's, and thank you very much, whoever's helping out. Yet, it didn't even occur to me to ask before you were coming on, how do you find people, or how would people get noticed if it's something that they're doing what they're doing, but they'd like their door to be knocked on? How do you find
out? You know, a lot of people, if they like their door to be knocked on, we can always go back to the social media world. You know, people have robust profiles on LinkedIn or on Facebook. You know, Facebook less likely, but on LinkedIn or other, it depends what part of the world you're in. There's different social media channels in different countries. But, you know, people that sort of want to get recognized need to be active in the market. You know, they need to, not that they're looking for a role necessarily, but they're active in groups and chatting and in discussions, you know, that type of stuff. A lot of people, you know, I have a lot of senior executives who just reach out to me directly and say, okay, hey, you know, you probably don't have anything for me right now and what I'm looking to do, but keep me in the loop. You know, tell me what is coming up. And that's, you know, that comes from years of experience in the industry from what I've been doing. But also it's, you know, sort of goes back to my branding as well, and reaching out to, you know, everyone and chatting with people, as many people as possible on any given day, in order to, you know, to generate credibility with, you know, with the marketplace.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fascinating because when you're in what you're doing, you know, like as I said, this is my company. This is something that I know about, but I'm not completely entrenched in. So it's fascinating to me, and what you do is fascinating. And talk about understanding how to build relationships, how to build a business. I mean, this is, you know, your industry is a great case study for how to build a successful business within kind of an umbrella of an organization. Really, really wise to watch it. And for our listeners, it's kind of like when I said, if you're looking for funding, talk to people who are in development for not-for-profits or nonprofits. They're brilliant at funding. They know how to find money, how to close, how the conversations, how to enroll people. That's an aside, but if you're a company or an organization or a young enterprise that's looking for funding or looking for initial capital other than a Kickstarter or something like that, if you're going more traditional routes, then talk to a few people in development and major gift. You'll learn a lot. So Ken, my little roads, right, that I take on and off, on-ramp, off-ramp. Best in-market, best on-market. What does that mean?
So in today's world, you know, a lot of organizations think that they can go out and hire some of the best people on the market. And this is a discussion we have with organizations all the time. And believe me, now organizations are getting smarter. They're hiring actually excellent internal recruiters to go out and find people, to bring people on board. But there's still the missing piece. It's the understanding. It's the confidentiality. It's what people are talking about, what the buzz of the industry is happening. And those are some of the things you need to know. And by best in market versus best on the market, you know, the best in the market are the individuals who aren't necessarily looking. They're not, you know, they aren't the ones who are, who are out there constantly all the time. You know, they're the ones who are successful, plugging away and focused 100% on their job. And those are the most difficult people to break loose. The best on the market are the people that are, you know, that are looking for a new role. You know, that someone who is, I got to get out of here. This organization's terrible. I need to find something new. And, you know, they can be an A player, but they're on the market. They're active. You know, so there's two different ways to do it. And a lot of times, the person who is active is going to be multitasked or talking to a lot of other people about getting new roles. They're not going to be focused on the role that you're looking for or that you're looking to hire. And then at that point, they're just going to be focused on the money. Whereas the best in the market are all about the opportunity. Of course, money's important, but you know, what's the opportunity? How did you describe the opportunity? How is the opportunity sold? That's the most important thing for someone who's the best in the market is here. We need to intrigue these people. We need to tell the stories and we need to, you know, sort of break them loose from what they're doing, and have them consider what you're talking about.
So this is a really interesting distinction. So there's two communities you're referring to. So the best on the market. So these are people, professionals or not professional, whatever it is, whatever the venue. And business owners listen to this because this is a brilliant distinction. So best on the market are those who are looking. They're looking for what's next, so to speak. They're looking for a new opportunity. They're looking to be part of potentially a different organization or even a different role. And these are kind of the people you would want in your organization because they're the best on the market. Like, who's out there that we know is looking? And these are the best of them.
Exactly. It's, you know, you can almost, you know, it's like a car, right? You know, it's, you know, the best on the market can be a Toyota Camry. But, you know, what's the best car in the market? You know, is it a Ferrari? Is it a Porsche? Is it, you know, you know, it can be something that's not out there advertising like crazy. You don't see Ferrari ads on the morning news. You don't see, you know, high-end cars, you know, advertising or Tesla advertising on the morning news. But you see Ford, Toyota, and Chevy, and those are great cars that are, you know, really on the market. But are they really the best cars in the market? Are they going to have the best performance? Are they going to have the best warranties? Are they going to have the best, you know, overall, you know, customer satisfaction or driving satisfaction? It's, you know, so those are, it's, if you look at it that way, it's a great analogy to use how, you know, there's candidates that are, you know, that are just part of the market. And then there's the elite who are the best in the market.
All right, we're going to discuss more about this when we get back. We're going to go to break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about best in market, best on the market, and some examples and how they're relevant to you when we come back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Are you an entrepreneur that wants to achieve more? Not just in it for profit, but to do work you find meaningful, that adds more value to more people in more ways? Listen for Be More, Achieve More, Inspiration for the Entrepreneurial Mind. With host Chris Cooper, you'll hear from successful achievers from around the world with the passion and experience to offer invaluable guidance. These people are making a difference and will help give you the motivation and insight to achieve more. Be More, Achieve More can be heard live Fridays at 8 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Everybody needs expert advice when they look to develop their personal brand. Join Rasheryl McCrary for The Leader and the Muse. Rasheryl and her guests will bring you practical tips and tools to help you build your brand in ways that propel you into greater personal and business success. For strategies, stories, and much more, tune in to the Voice America Business Channel every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, for The Leader and the Muse. And get ready to take your brand to the next level.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Moving Forward. We are so fortunate today to be here with Ken Lubin, Managing Director with ZRG Partners, and we're discussing best in market and versus best on the market. And just as a side note, at our was it last week or a couple weeks ago on our episode, one of the things I was discussing in Back to Basics, you know, we discussed in Back to Basics, we talked about goals and numbers and some fundamentals in terms of business. And in the last part of that conversation, talked about communication styles and, you know, looking at your team and noticing where not personality, not education, none of that, but how communication styles could potentially trip up being the most effective, the communication in terms of workability, in terms of productivity, in terms of also the enjoyment factor. And, you know, Ken earlier mentioned culture. So these are things not to step over. This isn't just about track record. This is also about, is this person a fit and are they filling in, you know, a need on both sides, right? So so it's more than just capabilities. It's richer and deeper if you are building the organization that you want to build in terms of an ideal vibrant organization that's profitable and scalable and poised for growth and, you know, obviously generating cash flow. So Ken, when we were right before break, you were talking the similarities between really like a car analogy or a car as a metaphor for best in market, best on market. You were talking about best on the market and started to talk a bit about best in market. I'm really curious how, so best on the market, you talked about these are the things that we'll see on the morning show in terms of cars. We'll see the Toyotas, we'll see the Fords, great cars, good cars, solid, you know, not going to go wrong. And but you're not seeing the Ferraris. You're not seeing maybe that other more elite world presented in terms of who's the target market. So how do you find out about that? How do you know who these people are, the best in the market?
And a lot of times, too, and, you know, the best on the market versus best in the market can be totally different for different roles as well. Someone may be the best on the market for one role, but they may be the best in the market for another role. You know, so there's some of those distinctions you need to differentiate as well. Like I said earlier, someone who's highly successful in a highly structured Fortune 500 company, a lot of times isn't going to be successful in a five-person startup, in a 10-person technology company. So there's a lot of the differentiating factors there as well that can sort of differentiate, you know, who's going to be the best in the market versus best on the market. So those are a couple deltas that you need to deal with as well. But in terms of, you know, in terms of stars, in terms of A players that are out there, it's gaining trust, it's gaining credibility, it's gaining an understanding of who they are. And like I said, it's, you know, what are their goals? What are they going to be successful doing? What drives their success? Those are the keys that I'm looking for when I'm chatting with people. And because the chances are, if I'm picking up the phone, I'm chatting to an executive, the chances are that they can do the job. I'm not really worried about the job or the level. If you look at people's backgrounds, they can do the job. And the higher the level, the executive, it's almost the easier it is to talk to people because they're advertised, they're out there, they're everywhere. But it's getting to know the understanding. It's getting to know the individual. It's getting to know what their goals are. Where do they want to be? What do they want to do? You know, there's an old ad years ago during the dot-com phase, and I remember seeing this. It was an individual who was sort of cooped up in sort of a brown wood paneled office, and he retired at 60 years old. And at 60, you saw him walk home, drop his box off at his house. He took his tie off, took his dress shirt off, put on a polo shirt and a pair of jeans and walked out and then went to a startup. Because that's where he fit. That's where he fit in. And those are the types of things you need to see. You need to dig into people's backgrounds to get an understanding of what they want to do. Because they're not necessarily doing what they want to do, but you have to understand, you know, what drives them, what's their passion. And I think that's what will differentiate a lot of, you know, good headhunters or recruiters from one from the other. Because a lot of times people are trying to jam people into a role that's not a fit, and more important to just get the fee. And more importantly is, are they going to stay there long term? Are they going to build their teams? And are you going to work with them long term? You know, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. What comes to mind is, you know, certainly in terms of you building, you know, and maintaining an excellent reputation at what you do, and building relationships versus having something that's transactional. And, you know, the kind of fitting people in for the sake of fitting people in to kind of close the deal is transactional. You've just, you know, in many ways made it more challenging to go back again if it's not a fit to anyone that person's connected to or to that organization. So it really is a very now dynamic, you know, a very transparent one. In terms of the work you do, and this is a really interesting piece. And the other part that comes to mind, Kevin, is when you're talking, is, you know, my firm and myself, we've done a lot of work in terms of post-merger, post, you know, acquisitions, when organizations, post-merger, I'll put it that way. And part of one of the biggest challenges is not the capabilities. You have a lot of, unfortunately, often redundancy in capabilities because people are capable. They're good at doing what they do. Some of them are excellent at doing what they do, but the job certainly gets done. Where a lot of the challenges are when there's a integration of two cultures that are dissimilar. And in many ways, it sounds like, you know, that and that can also have something that made sense on paper not play out very well in terms of the health and well-being of the newly formed organization. And in many ways, it sounds like, you know, it's on a different scale. That's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what it is. It's, you know, there's that's the most important thing when hiring someone. We'll do a little bit about our process, and what I do is when we go on and take a new assignment, we'll go to the organization, we'll sit within the organization, we'll meet the team of people, we'll be there for 4, 5, 6 hours. I'm actually going to New York tomorrow to kick off a search where, you know, we're going to go within the organization to get an understanding of the culture and make sure that when we're talking to the people potentially for this role, that they're going to be a cultural fit. Because if they're not going to be a cultural fit, it's really not, it doesn't really make any sense to move forward.
So here's something I'm curious about. Two things come to mind. If someone is on the market, then are they more likely to try to fit into something to kind of navigate it so they'll fit versus, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
like there's a bit of manipulation going on.
So a lot of times if they're on the market, they'll tell you, you know, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this. And a lot of times, you know, they just end up shopping and they're just looking for the best deal possible. And that's, you know, granted, you know what, if I was on the market, I'd probably do the same thing. But it's really not the right way to do it. It's getting an understanding of the organization, doing your homework on the organization, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, is compromise yourself as well as compromise the organization. And then you're both going to come on board, you're going to be there 6 months, and it's both going to be miserable and doesn't end well. It's sort of like going into a relationship, into a dating relationship, where you're hiding something and you're just looking for the next best thing. It's really not, you know, that's not a good opportunity. And organizations are fairly smart about that, but you have to be able to articulate that with, you know, with the person who's looking or the person that you're looking to hire as well, and get a good understanding of, you know, of what it is.
Okay, you know what I'd love to bridge this to how this, you know, because we're obviously talking about robust organizations, you know, in terms of resources and for many who use executive search. How could smaller entities who maybe don't have, you know, certain resources or a company that's just starting out, how can they discern, you know, in this process? Because the teams, especially for smaller, you know, if you've got a small organization and you have someone who's not a fit, it can throw everything out of whack. You know, when you have a multinational or larger organization, it impacts things. And it can be, you know, the consequences can be pretty significant. But if you've got a boutique or a small firm or a company that, you know, I know the SBA defines a small business in construction as under 1,500 employees. Most small businesses in construction would, you know, the guy with 500, you know, or 1,000 employees might not think of himself as a small business.
Right.
But any suggestions for them in regard to bringing in talent?
I think, you know, you have to know your vision. What's the vision of the organization? Where's the vision of the organization going? And that's what you have to be able to sell. You need to be able to articulate it. You need to be able to show it. You need to be able to have, you know, the people who you're bringing in understand it, understand the vision and where they're going to go. Because if the person doesn't understand the vision, it doesn't matter if they're the best or the worst in the marketplace. You know, if the hiring company didn't do the right job, you know, selling the role, selling the company. And that was what I was a bit going to segue into next. It's a lot of the responsibility, too, is on the hiring company. How is the hiring organization selling it? How are they selling it internally? Who are they going to have, you know, the people interview the candidates? There's a lot of that needs to go on. That's a whole other side of the business that's just as important to attract top talent. Because most people within organizations aren't professional interviewers. They don't interview for a job. They're project managers, they're accountants, they're salespeople. They're not professional interviewers. And I think organizations need to actually do a good job at training the people who are going to interview people on how to interview. Because there's a lot, you can turn people on and off very easily if the team interviewing people isn't, you know, aren't the right people you need to interview.
Okay. And thank you. Can you give us something that could potentially turn someone off?
You know, there's a number of things. I've got a million stories that would probably, you know, that would blow people away. But there's just, you know, be nice, be sincere, be embracing. You know, just easy things that are like that. Don't be abrasive. You know, you need to understand that you're dealing with a product that can think. And a lot of organizations think, oh, we're the best, and why wouldn't anyone want to work with us? Well, how well did you articulate that? And that needs to be articulated to the candidate. I've had organizations, people go into organizations and they come out and they don't even know why they want to go to work there, but they want to go to work there. You know, they have the feeling. It's the aura. This place is awesome. I want to work here. Then I've had people go into companies who think, wow, that's a super cool company. And they're like, there's no way I'm going to work there. This guy, so-and-so and so-and-so is, you know, just terrible. They can't, you know, they're drooling all over themselves. They weren't paying attention to me. They're talking on their cell phone. You know, that stuff that you can't do within, you know, within an interview.
That is, you know, it might sound so simple and obvious to us listening, right? You know, that's like, oh, yeah, but of course. No, if you're interviewing someone, you interview them. But the same way that if you're interviewing someone and they're not engaged, you know, as the person interviewing, are you doing what you need to do to be fully present and engaged in giving this person your attention? And if you're not, what is that a tell of? Like, you know, in archaeology, there'd be a tell that indicated the civilization that was there prior. You know, so what would that person be taking from this if, you know, the whatever it is would have you not be able to carve out the, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes or, you know, to be able to give something your undivided attention? You know, really interesting. When there is a piece that you said that I thought was a great line. Like, it ought to be a T-shirt. You know, you said, did you say this product can think? Like, that you're at this.
It is. So, yeah, I think I'm probably the only, you know, we're the only business where your product can think. It's, you know, money can't think. Money's emotional, but money can't think. You know, if you're selling a car can't think. They can't say, oh, I don't want that person to drive me. If you're selling, you know, an EMC server, you know, that server can't say, oh, I don't want to go work for that company because I don't, their room's not warm enough or it's too cold in my room and, you know, and I'm going to be uncomfortable there. You know, so there's, that's the dynamic, especially being in our role, is that our products can think. And what are our products? Our products are the hiring company as well as the hiring candidate. And that's why, you know, social dynamics is such a major piece of this puzzle. And if you don't really understand social dynamics, it really isn't going to be, you know, it's very difficult to find the right people or to get the right people on board.
Ah, fantastic. We're going to discuss this more. I said we'd hear some stories during the segment, and we didn't. So when we come back, we're going to hear some of these stories that Ken has for us. When we return, more with Ken Lubin, best in the market, best on the market.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Calling all CFOs, finance and risk professionals, your call to action is to help your company achieve financial excellence. How? Master risk management, cost control, and strategic decision-making by implementing game-changing technology advances like mobile, in-memory, and cloud computing, and more. Where? Learn from top thought leaders each week on Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Join us for Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Moving Forward. I'm Jen Sabin, and we are very fortunate to be here today with Ken Lubin discussing best in market, best on the market. And before we just broke for our for the break, I mentioned that when we get back, Ken would share some stories in addition to the great information. But really, the difference between now, I'm not getting any judgment that there's anything off with best on market, that that could really serve an organization. And certainly when we're, when, if I were looking to bring someone in to say GMG, you know, I want the best person in the market, and I'm also looking for the best person on the market because we want someone now, right? Or when it, or there might be a temporality issue. But what are, if I recall that you had a really great story when we were chatting about this before, about an example for a company and the difference this distinction made for them in terms of the work your firm did with them. And Do you remember
instrumental in bringing a financial services company. I work in the specialty finance business, and there's a major French bank that was looking to expand into the U.S. marketplace. And the first time we met with them, there were two of them. There was the president and the chief credit officer, and there were actually three of us. It was amazing. I've never been in a meeting like that. And we're in the executive dining room of this bank, and it was remarkable to see that, you know, the passion that these two individuals had. But number one and number two was their ability to sell the story. And, you know, we have a strong ability to sell the story. That's one of our value propositions. We can sell stories to the marketplace of organizations probably better than anyone. The way we market, the way we reach out, the way we do, you know, use social media. But some of our tools that we use and how we describe positions are second to none. And that goes into that can go into a whole nother segment. But these two individuals were highly dynamic. They knew the drive. They knew the passion. They knew what they needed to do to get on, you know, to get the right person on board. And when you're starting up an organization, even though they're a part of a large European bank, there's still the scariness of, is this really going to happen? Is the bank going to fund this business? Am I going to leave a great job, a great organization, and come on board and, you know, like, holy shit, this is what I need to do, and, you know, and how am I going to do that? You know, those are the types of things that you need to be aware of. But these two individuals were able to bring on, you know, the third person that came on board was the chief information officer, and then the next person was the head of sales, and they were able to build a culture that was able to mesh, and a culture that was able to be successful, and a culture that was actually able to sell to the marketplace. And within 3 or 4 years, I think 3 years, they were doing about $500 million in, you know, in new financing business. It was a remarkable time, but it was the right people selling the right story, selling it to the right people in the marketplace, and that's the key to success.
You know, this is really interesting. It reminded me, and I completely forgot until you were talking about this, in the late 90s. You know, many of our listeners know I had a seat on the American Stock Exchange, a firm for many years on Wall Street, prior, and then incorporated the coaching consulting in the 90s and expanded out. I cleared through a firm on Wall Street, which was a private health firm, one of the largest, right? Spear Leads, and had a very long, great relationship with them, and thought, you know, Harvey Silverman, Peter Kellogg, you know, great people. And I was riding up the, I had offices at 115 Broadway as well, 120 Broadway. And I was riding up the elevator with one of the partners. And at this time, I was just on the considering. I said, you know, I'm thinking of throwing my hat into the corporate ring. He said, come see me. And they gave me voice an opportunity at that time to head up some of the, to actually head up their expansion into Europe at that time, going over there. And there were some personal reasons why I chose not to pursue it and continued to build out. This was when I was really looking at what direction my company was going. And it was that simple. There was never a CV. There was never – it was just – and I said – I asked them, why me? Why are you – you know – and he said, we know you. You're honest. You're entrepreneurial. Like, and – I probably would not have been a fit for them in their domestic place, but because of the nature of what they were doing, and they knew how I knew to build things, and I understood the industry, and was very good at building relationships with people. I forgot about that till just now, that I almost made that, and it was as simple as that. And that was, I will throw that in the category and pat myself on the back, best in market, you know, in that time, because I was certainly wasn't, you know, it was just playing around with it, like how are we gonna, I was either going to close the company or grow it to the next level. It was like at that space, because I was selling off part of it. So really interesting. Wow, thank you for that memory trip down memory lane.
No problem.
And I shared it with everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. But it reminded me of, it was just the reverse dynamic of the other company coming to the, you know, the French company coming to the States. But what I'm also hearing is what is so natural to you is the level of diligence. Like, you know your customer. And for anyone who's listening, this is so key. It's not just what you're selling. It's knowing the reasons why people buy. And that is probably not the right language for your work, Ken, but in a way, it's, you know, why do people buy? you know.
That's exactly what it is, yeah. It's, you know, why are they, you know, why are they going to, changing jobs is one of the top three or five most stressful things in the world. For people, because it's you're changing everything, and you want to succeed, and you want to do well, and that's you need to understand that you know when you're chatting with people if they're going to be the right fit within the organization.
Mm. You know, there's something else that you mentioned, and this also has to do with, you know, for those of us to be like, do you know what's happening in your company, and whatever size your enterprise is, whatever size your business or organization is. And there's a gentleman I know who built out, was tasked with, for one of the major consulting firms, he built out a division, $150 million in revenue from zero. And part of what he used to look at when he was interviewing candidates or when people were coming was how they treated the people that were the support staff.
Oh, that's key. And one of the key things too, you're asking some crazy stories. There was an organization that we used to have people interview at, and they always had a car service. And the car service, what's the first thing that someone does when they get in a car when they're going off site? They pick up their cell phone and call their spouse, or they call whoever and say how the interview went or didn't go. The driver would then report back to the hiring manager or the president of the company, based on the feedback that the person would call their significant other or whoever they were calling once they got in the car.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, Big Brother is watching.
You know, you got to be thinking, you know, when you go,
you're still on site. You're actually still on site in a manner of speaking.
You are. And I have a packet that I send out to people called Win the Interview. And there's a number of things you need to think about when you're interviewing. It's, you know, interviewing's a sport. Interviewing, in today's world, when you go interview, you're not just going to go within an organization, sit there for 2 hours and get the job. Most often it's going to be a 6 or 7 or 8 hour day. You're going to meet 6, 7, 8 people. But you need to consider, there's so much you need to consider, you know, nutrition-wise. What did I eat? What didn't I eat? You know, how did I sleep? Did I drink too much the night before? There's just so many things that you need to think about when you go into an interview. And like I said, it's, you're preparing for a big day. You're preparing for a sport. You're preparing for your body to be on target. You're preparing for your mind to be on target. You're preparing for everything to be on target. And if any of those is sort of out of whack, chances are pretty good you're not going to get the role. I can, you know, I do the same thing with 22-year-old people looking for internships, and, you know, people that are CEOs of organizations going to another organization. Those are the things you need to consider, sort of the soft things that most people don't think about, but they need to think about how your body's going to perform, how your mind's going to perform. What are the, you know, don't drink too much coffee, or don't drink enough coffee. You know, there's all these little different things that can throw off your day.
Wow, it's not just an endurance event. It sounds like a triathlon where you need transition, you know, stages, right?
Oh yeah, you need to, you know, throw a protein bar in your bag. You know, what happens if you don't go out to lunch? You're in interviews all day. You know, things like that. You know, you can't let that stuff get you down.
And from someone who's interviewed many people, some type of breath freshener is a wise thing, or some way to be able to, if, you know, it is okay if you're parched to ask for something to drink in between. Otherwise, you're doing that kind of, you're not going to be present because you're noticing how dry your mouth is or something of that nature. It's interesting. There is, and I know we've kind of segued, I want to circle back to the best in market, best on the market in a moment. But I do know that there's one of my clients, their organization, they do include in every interview process having a meal with the candidate to see how that candidate conducts themselves. And it's not that they're hiring them based on do they know which spoon, but to really get the overall impression of how this person conducts themselves. And in having a meal, do they thank the person who just poured? Do they acknowledge people? Just the whole kind of ecosystem of what it's like to dine with them.
Yeah, we could go down the whole route, you know, the whole interview route, you know, a different day. But, you know, it's, again, we're talking about best in the market, best on the market. One of the things you were saying, too, which you brought up, which was, you know, which is intriguing and typically is the way, you know, when you call someone and they don't have a resume, you know that, you know, those guys are the guys you want to talk to. You want to talk to the person who doesn't have a resume ready. You want to talk to the person who is so entrenched in what they're doing that, you know, they're not, you know, they're talking to you sometimes, you know, they think they're just talking to you out of convenience, but you got to get an understanding of who they are and what they are. If you're the one who's, if you call someone and they're sending you a resume and you're already on the phone with them, it's a, you know, a different ballgame. So, you know, there's just a couple different things you need, you just pay attention to.
Yeah, you know, and for everyone who's listening, take a moment and consider for yourself. And if you're looking for a new position, that's fine. There's nothing off here. Get in touch with Ken, right? However, even if you're looking, if you're the best on the market, are you also best in the market? Like, where are you in terms of what you're doing, in terms of your position? Like, are you really giving it your all? Is, you know, and this is a great opportunity to kind of self-assess that way. And, you know, there's nothing we don't step over. You know, we talk about that big elephant in the room on this show, right? Like, we don't pretend it's not there. So, you know, and nobody strives to be, you know, mediocre. It's not something we strive for, you know? So, and one person's best, you know, you might not be an elite athlete, but, you know, are you playing your best game? You know, and to notice what that means for you. Just as an aside, you know, so that this isn't a passive conversation between Ken and I. Everyone's involved in it.
Well, one question you have to ask yourself is, would you hire you?
That is my favorite question for clients. Based on your performance this past week, would you hire yourself
right
next week? Yeah. Would you hire you? Knowing all of it. Like, you know all of it. I outstanding. So, Ken, we're going to wrap up in a minute or two. Any last thoughts in terms of best in market, best on the market?
You know, I think, you know, if you're a hiring organization, you need to be able to articulate your story, and be able to, you know, to have the vision and the dream of getting the best people possible, number one. But number two, you have to have an understanding as well. Can I attract these people, or why should I attract these people? Because some people, you know, you may think you have the best story in the world, but again, you know, on the other side, on the hiring side or on the company side, you have to have a realistic expectations of, you know, who you can and can't get as well. You know, so there's, you know, there's a fine line between the two. You know, the best on the market for one, like I said earlier, for one position can be totally different, you know, than for another organization. You know, so there's realistic understanding of who you are, what you are, what you're looking to do, and who you're looking to attract. You know, I think those are the keys.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, Ken, thank you so much. And for those who want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can reach out to me, you know, via email in my office at klubin@zrgpartners.com is probably the best. Our website, zrgpartners.com as well. And, you know, I'm based here in Westboro, but or outside of Boston, but we have offices throughout the world as well. And, you know, if anyone's ever looking to chat or looking to hire people, my specialty is financial services, but we have an extremely robust life sciences business as well as technology business. So I'd love to be able to help anyone out in, you know, any way possible. Or if you're a candidate looking to sort of, you know, how do I become better? You know, what do I do? How do I do this? Feel free to reach out as well.
What a generous offer. Thank you so much. And for those who also in terms of executive athletes, the LinkedIn group, if you're a fit for it, or some of the other groups that Ken has put together. So you might want to just reach out and find out where there might be a fit for you in these incredibly fantastic, robust communities that Ken's been a catalyst to putting together. And they are international, truly global communities. They're not, you know, U.S.-centric in any way. But we want to thank you, Ken, so much for being here today. Appreciate your time, your wisdom, your stories.
Thank you. You know, and it's great to be on board. And again, it's, you know, it's truly an honor.
Absolutely. Oh, I like that. Truly an honor. Well, for everyone, you know, go back and listen to when Ken was on once before, and we were discussing around social media and personal branding. And in the interim, make this week a moving forward week. Thank you for being here, and look forward to being together next week. Take care, everyone.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Saban again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a Moving Forward week.